Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hello, world. Happy Saturday. You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith. And we are a radio show that's provided by the group Late Night Poets on allpoetry.com. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com to help support these shows, so feel free to check those out. Tonight's show is based on carryovers from last Monday's Day of the Dead contest. And yeah, so that's the gist of tonight's show. And I'm going to go to the studio here and see if we have any callers. We do. Hello and welcome, Lawrence.
Well, good evening, Gray. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And we have Phil. Hello, Phil.
Well, hello, Gray Eyes. How are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. And how are you?
Good. If I was any better, we all know the answer. I'd be twins.
You'd be standing beside your son. Absolutely. Great to have you both with us.
Good to be here.
So I'm going to grab the first poem and put it into the group here. Okay. Would you mind reading that for me, Lawrence?
Certainly. His Cathedral of the Sky, by rite of passage. Rest in peace, Clinton Eugene Jarvis, my father. The saguaro, an altar, a tree stump, a pew. He knelt in the garden, his church, all that grew. Cactus and succulents, tenderly grown, were all in his choir, for his ears alone. From aisles of stone walkways, stained glass and bright clouds, the sun was his mantle, the stars are his shroud. The lake's holy water as a child he'd haunt, skipping stones across a pond like a baptismal font. Sat he neath the willows to hear their prayers sigh, his saguaro an altar, his cathedral the sky. End poem.
Thank you. Would you mind reading her author's notes?
My father died in March of 2018. His birthday was last month. He lived a long, full life, but I still grieve. Thanks for praying for me or sending good thoughts. Appreciate
it. Wonderful read, Lawrence. Thank you. And what a touching poem, you know. It's so devout and faithful, you know. You can feel her love for this man as he oversees his church of life, and she sees the beauty in everything that he does. I thought it was just a wonderful poem. What did you think, Bill?
You know, I really liked this. I thought it was a beautifully written tribute to her dad, and I think it was very well done. The lines and the stanzas throughout were very well put together, and the imagery was good. And yeah, just you could really feel it, her emotions and thoughts were so well done, conveyed to everyone else, that I think it was awesome. So nice work, rite of passage. Good job.
Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. And Lauren, what did you think?
I thought the poem was very well written, and the metaphor the metaphor of nature as a church, as the cathedral, from aisles of stone walkways, stained glass and bright clouds, the sun was his mantle, the stars are his shroud, has such a nice rhythm and such lovely imagery. She did a really nice job with this, touching heavily on nature as a cathedral. It's just an apt metaphor. And what is more glorious and worthy of praise more than nature? Excellent piece.
Wonderful. Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lauren. I'm going to check the studio real quick here. And we have a caller, so I'm going to answer this. Hello, here you go, 763. Who's calling, please?
Good evening, everybody. It's Dexter Bailey.
Hey, Dex. How are you?
I'm doing well, a little bit better than the other night. I was was pretty sick. I talked out the show on Thursday, so I'm a little bit better this evening. So I had to call in.
Yep. Well, that's good. Glad to hear it. So did you get to hear Lawrence Reed?
Only the end of it. I'll leave a written comment rather than stumble through one here.
Okay, thanks, Sex. Okay, Phil, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me, by Husk. Okay. This is called Cobalt Stream by Husk. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. It was important to me, I swear. I asked for time and date, but that information wasn't shared. I wonder how you felt. Were you cold? Were you scared? I'm sorry I couldn't ask you. As we know, I wasn't there. I would have dressed for you so nicely. I would have done up my hair. Could you tell me now? I tried just fine. What would you say if it weren't for me, that you'd still be alive? How could I have known how you choose to go? I didn't know you long enough to see any telltale signs. I'm sorry I couldn't see you in the box they put you in. I'm sorry some think less of you for what they'd consider sin. I'll see you when October's blue. I hope you'll see me too. But until then, I'll just do my best to improve upon what you left. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I wanted to be there. To me, you're not forsaken. You did the best you could. If I could have been there for you, you know damn well I would. End the poem.
And would you mind reading the author's name, please, Phil?
Sure. A lover's life lost by their own hand and their family's mysterious refusal to allow me to attend the funeral.
Wow.
Peace.
Yeah, you know, when she said October is blue, it reminded me of a song by the band Blue October, and it's called Hate Me. And, you know, he's a drug addict, and he just wants to die. And so anyway, that's I was reminded of that, with the October blue. But, you know, this is a heart-wrenching poem filled with despair and loss and
yeah.
Consternation for the fact that she couldn't be there. I thought it was just a fabulous write, very thought-provoking and excellently written. What did you think, Lawrence?
This poem is so sad in any number of directions. I appreciate the write and its perspective. To be shut out of the funeral of somebody you love, how horrible is that? You know, families, in the midst of their grief sometimes, will assign blame, false or true, to whoever they want or whoever they think is the reason. And unfortunately, this individual seems to have been caught in that morass of emotion. But you were very well communicated. I really enjoyed this piece.
Thank you, Lauren. Wonderful comment. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a powerful write, very sad, and you know, that's just the truth of it when somebody passes away. And for everybody else, you know, your relationship shared with that person isn't the relationship shared with everybody else, you know. And a lot of times these people that maybe have some sort of guilt or some sort of you know, wishings and you know, a little bit of sorriness on, or just that weren't there, you know, it's all of a sudden try to take hold a little bit more than they even should in the matter, you know. So it's just always sad when somebody passes away. Enough is sad, but the aftermath of everybody, all the hands getting involved, is even sadder. So this poem portrays that very well.
Wonderful comment, Dex. Thank you. And Phil, what did you think?
You know, I like this. Well, I don't know if I can say I like this piece because it's a sad situation. It's hard enough to lose someone, but then to be kept at a distance when it comes time to say goodbye, it's like a cruel act almost. I don't, you know, all situations are different, so I have to kind of say almost. But it's just, I mean, it's cruel. I mean, we all want to say goodbye to those we love, for those we care about. And to be kept away for whatever reason, because someone else is uncomfortable, it's a tough call. It's a tough situation. And I'm glad that they got to write that, and I'm glad that they, you know, got to put it into words how they felt. And, I think it was just nicely done. I thought the emotions were well expressed in it, and it was well written. And I'm sorry for your loss, Hosk, as I am for everybody's loss in all of these poems. I can't, you know, say that for any, you know, one without the others. So...
Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bill. Wonderful comment. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show.
Hello, Sawa.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
How are you?
Bonsoir.
We're good. Thank you.
Bonsoir. It's such a heart-wrenching poem. You did an amazing read. It's really sad. Can I say something about it quickly?
Yes, please.
Yes. Well, I mean, I agree with everyone. I think... for respect for the person who died, to allow people who care about him, for respect for him, even if they don't like them. I think it's really heart-wrenching. It's so sad, and I agree with you, Phil, that she put it in words. It must be so tough and painful.
And could I clarify one thing? I just want to make sure that the poet knows. I meant my comment on the side of the poet. Looking back at my words, I know it could have been skewed, like I was saying that the poet wasn't there. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. I'm not taking side against the poet. So.
Yes.
Hello, Dexter.
No worries.
I saw up.
Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Gerald Green, and he has a SoundCloud.
Heroism's Cost, written in red by Gerald Green. He volunteered, rejoined the team in that desolated place of blood-encrusted soil. Fitness, readiness, and training dominating life, where ammunition gives security, weapons fulfillment, living in his world of black and white beyond discerning eyes. Routine and risk alternate, surreal day and night, in this game of life and death. Home to him was but a venue where his uniform could speak, defining him as one to be admired. Purple hearts are worn with pride that tantalize novitiates, disdained by wives who cannot sleep. And so he left, while still in pain, to fight again, to feel the rush, adrenaline, his secret love. Last month, another came. The doorbell rang. An officer in form of blue spoke eloquence, with words unheard but understood. He talked of courage, sacrifice, as if a medal compensates, and agony could hold its tongue. The document expresses valor, panegyric's closest friend, chosen phrases to inspire that fail to compensate the cost. End of poem.
Well, that was a beautiful SoundCloud. He did a fabulous job reading that. And, you know, you can feel the soldier in this, you know, his need for the adrenaline and his ultimate sacrifice to that love. I thought it was just a haunting rite. What did you think, Laurent?
It was a great piece and a great tribute. I could not help but think as I heard him read it that he sounded very military himself. There was a precision, a preciseness to his speech, which spoke of discipline, both in civilian and in military life. And discipline, although we use it in any variety of ways, in the military is survival. Without it, it all goes to pieces. Somebody says, stand up and run into that hail of fire. You stand up and you run into the hail of fire. And if you're wounded, you volunteer and rejoin the team, as he says in the first stanza, in that desolated place blood-encrusted soil. And he gave his life, for his country, for his loved ones, and for the people of the United States. So, yes, regardless of what we say or how we express our sadness, it fails to compensate the cost. Great piece.
Well said. Thank you, Laurent. And, Bill, what did you think? Hello.
A very well written poem. Hello.
Hi.
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I thought this was not only haunting but poignant. I was just leaving a comment for him. I think this was very, the audio was excellent. It was very precise. You know, when he was wording it, he said it with great emotion. And I think that it was just a really well done piece. I mean, it says a lot, that fail to compensate the cost. I mean, I think that all sums it up in the end. There's nothing that anyone can say at that moment in time when they're bringing that kind of news. And there's nothing that can make you feel that it's not going to make you feel better, no matter what words they say. And that's what I, took in that. In just that last line, it just goes, yep, nothing can make you feel better about it. You understand it's a job. You understand it's what they signed up for. And sadly, well, we all pray and hope that that's not the way it happens for the individuals we know. But, wow, just still doesn't make the pain any less. So, great job, Gerald.
No.
Thank you.
A fabulous comment, Bill. Thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, it's almost ironic that, these awards like the Purple Heart and things like this go to the soldiers that did it for far more, and that's was the last thing on their mind, while doing it, because nobody would go truly what some of our heroes have gone through if they were just going to get the rewards and just get the valor of a Purple Heart. They did it for a lot deeper cause, and so there is no reward that could equal out to what they gave. So incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Salwa, what did you think?
Yes, I really like this one. Gerald have captivated us with his read and his writing, amazing. And it's true. I mean, soldiers have to fight and give their life for the one who really feel it is their parents. Who it's just so really sad. I can imagine when the line when he said, last month or something, I'm sorry. Last month, another came, the doorbell rang. Just like what's going to happen. And I can imagine even the family when they hear their rumor, they know if they see, so they know exactly before even he say any word what's going to happen. I can imagine my heart really goes to all of them. It's just very moving and very sad.
Thank you, Salwa. And I'd like to welcome
my
Mindy
pleasure.
To the show. Hello, Mindy.
Hi there. Sorry I'm late.
Hey,
I'm gay. Hi, Mindy.
Glad to have you here.
This was an amazing write, and one that really speaks to that connection, that inner connection that they have when they're in the service and all those men working back-to-back with each other and side-by-side. The part that really kind of typified that to me was Purple Hearts were worn with pride, with tantalizing, that tantalized novitiates disdained by wives that cannot sleep. There's something that they've shared, a connection so deep and so intimate that nobody but a fellow brother can understand. And it's recaptured in that other line. He talked of courage, sacrifice, as if a medal compensates and agony could hold its tongue. And, they're sitting there attending the service and somebody's speaking all these grand words, speaking of dedication and courage and all those things that that make a speech what it is, you know, make it the pomp and circumstance that you attend for. But it isn't why they're there. They're not there for that. They're not there for the awarding of the medal. They're there for a brother. And that's the pain and the agony that they share that binds them forever. And it's an impressive piece, a moving piece, and beautifully shared.
Mm-hmm. That was a great comment. Thank you, Mindy. Okay, Dex, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Not a problem. This is Eulogy by Incognito. Dear Lola, I hope it's okay to say, how are you out there? It's been 10 years or more since we've last seen each other, although it was because it was the last time I saw you sleeping. I even lay beside you. Didn't you notice? La, I may not have said this, but I'm sorry I wasn't the kid you hoped for. You know, I wasn't that good in school and home like the others on why life's been rough on me. Perhaps if you're still here, I could have been a better person. Where are you? Wish you could hear that song we wrote for you. And also, I'm trying to write some poetry like you. Glad to have some great memories with you. I miss you, La. Just how I wish you could read this. End poem.
That was fantastic read, Dex. And, you know, there's a heart-wrenching poem as well. You can feel the loss and the tragedy of the situation through the words. Beautifully done. What did you think, Lloyd?
Such a fine piece with about what makes it really good is it's very personal. For someone's grandmother who you lay down next to and maybe you didn't even notice. And what can you say to somebody who's been dead for 10 years that you miss desperately? And I think the first stanza meets that challenge very well. Dear Lola, I hope it's okay to say, how are you out there? By asking that question, you make a ton of assumptions, and imagery is rendered that leads you in all kinds of directions. But the poet continues very matter-of-factly, very matter-of-factly. It's been 10 years or more since we last seen each other, because the last time I saw you sleeping, and that was the last time. What a beautiful piece. As the AN says, one beautiful person who had gone too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Phil, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was such a sad piece. I said the longing is real. I thought it was well penned. Just so many memories. You know, and I appreciate how she shared in the AN. She was a teacher, a writer, an artist, mother and friend, you know. You know, that pretty much says it all. And I love the line that, wish you could hear that song we wrote for you. And also, I'm trying to write some poetry like you. So apparently that's where the love of poetry came from and passed down. And I think that was really great. So, thank you so much, Incognito. That's great.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Phil. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a very relatable poem. You know, unfortunately, you know, your grandparents, you know, they're not there, or for the most part, normally they're not there to see the you know, the next step or the greater picture. You know, I think my grandparents passed away when I was, you know, or my grandpa did at 19 or 20. And, you know, I was kind of a crazy person at that time. And so it's like, it's relatable because it's like, you know, your grandparents were around when you weren't your finished product. And so, but by the gist that I got of this poem, he has matured to a different level. He's growing out of that person, and I think that they would be proud of this Your grandmother would be proud of this poem. This was a great write.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Doug. And Sal, what did you think?
I really appreciate this write, too, where Dexter shows how much he wanted to tell her that he wasn't able to tell her, and he wished that she could hear him in those 10 years. There is longing, of course, but there is this wish that she see him different, as he said, Dexter, to also show her how much she appreciates her. I mean, there's, I believe that even when they leave us, they can hear us, we can talk to them, and this is, that's how I felt about this poem, that she could hear him. It's so beautiful, it's heartfelt, and very deep.
Thank you, Salwa. And Mindy, what did you think?
Pleasure. You know, he... And I think she does hear. Seems that he never moved too far away from her in heart anyway. And the aspects of her filtered everything that he is and does. Her gifts and her legacy are enduring, and the poetry that he now shares grows her. And, you know, Dex and the Faziana had a show the other night about legacy. Kind of a nice segue from that beautiful piece of writing.
Thank you. Thank you, Mindy. Okay, so I have the next write up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, sure. Give me 1 second. Refresh. I was commenting, sorry. Where is it? Okay. And it is... Okay, scratching post. Last whim of the mayor of Upper Kenny. Let me see the word. If not, I'm going to pass it to Mindy. It's hard to read. I just don't want to destroy it. Okay, sorry. Just make sure. It was September when the river took him, that river he loved, floated and fished, until he knew it like his own skin. It was mid-September when he breathed that river in. It already ran his vein like blood from the glacier of deep-cut desire. I camped with him with his bank on the island, feeding MacBeast in the morning, the scraps from dinners by the fire. He drifted by raft beneath the midnight sun, from Cooper's down to Jim Landing. After pancakes at Gwyn dinner, near the clear mouth of the Russian, and we camp beneath the green aurora when old banks were lined with snow. But it was in September. You would see it from the undertow, those turquoise opaque waters, those swift and flooding currents, those murky depths of lovely blue, where some of the fish, no doubt, caught and released over the years, might swim by saying, that face I remember, those hands I once knew. Through the canyon he went drifting, where in life he never dared go. Hard first along its rapids toward the ocean, carried by that undertow as on parade. But just before the mighty Skylark Estro, some choice were made. The sandbar grabbed his knee and held him for the months it took, held him there for me. Did you see the rose petals float by, I wonder? They were lovely on the blue released above the canyon when we ended the official search for you, where the salmon and the dory burden as kind as when you gently pried the hooks from their lips and watched them swim away. Such reverence did they repay. Did the upper canyon save you from jealous Skylark? That eternally moody, muddy Skylark? Or was it an angel that fastened you in the slow among the gravel? In the last mile of turquoise fingers, where we had more than once waded, fishing flies for rainbows, I think it is fitting she held you for a season and hoped the memory of your lingers in those waters that you loved and would anyway have not easily let go of in the end. The river was your friend. And the form, sorry, made me very emotional. Oh, goodness.
Beautiful read, Sala. You know, and when a person goes in a place that they love, I mean, it's a sad thing, but it's also a beautiful thing. And I think that this right captures that love between the river and him and the river. And it seems a befitting death for somebody who loved that water as much as he did. It's just a haunting rite full of fantastic imagery, and the storyline is great. Just in the author's notes, the local river guides all knew him and called him the Mayor of Kenai. He regularly floated up the Upper Kenai River between Kenai Lake and Spilak Lake, floating it often from Cooper's Landing down to Jim's Landing, just before the river's descent into the canyon where practically no one went. He knew more about the river than the guides, and in some ways it was fitting he breathed in his last breath in her alluring waters. I was told there was an effort to place a small memorial of him at Jim's Landing, but I have not been back for many years to see it. He was a real Alaskan sourdough. He was my dad. So sad, but just beautiful at the same time. What did you think, Bart?
Rarely does a poem enter the human heart, at least my heart, the way this one did. Nature is the vehicle for remembrance of the man, his father, and the river, a place of both death and remembrance. There doesn't seem to be any anger at his drowning. There is joy at the fact that the sandbar held him for discovery the next year, I imagine, and a funeral at that point was probably arranged. It's an incredible piece. The descriptive quality in this is pretty much breathtaking. The emotion drips from every word without being cloying in any way. It's a very special piece. It really is. And I don't want to demean it by using any hyperbole. It is within my heart.
Beautiful comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Phil, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm going to do it off mute this time. I thought it was full of wonderful imagery, and it was reflecting the beautifully, you know, his dad's love for the Kenai and the Skylake, and I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, so forgive me. I thought it was a really well-done tribute, and just an excellent piece of writing. So thank you, Scratch and Post, for sharing with us. Mm-hmm.
Well said. Thank you, Phil. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, that was a great read also, Sawa. But if there was ever a poetic representation of scattering someone's ashes or something, this poem seemed like it. It was just a breathtaking piece and full of emotion and beautiful description. It was just very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And I know you read it so well, but what did you think?
It really hit me. Emotion moved me deeply. You can feel like he's telling us a story of his father and him, how they share things, they share this river and camping and doing things together, this closeness. And yet the river that he loves took him. But see, the way he described it, I agree with everyone, is just grasp us. You can feel how much this man loved the river and how much... it's like where he belonged to. That's what he loved, and that's where he ended. The imagery, the questions, everything, like the way he gave us all these details, how it happened, and even in September, so many details. That's very moving. I'm sorry for your loss. Very beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comments. Well, thank you. And Mindy, what did you think?
Yeah,
I grew up and fished all of these rivers with my family, and I think that my father probably knows his father. This piece right here does speak every bit of what Sal was talking about, that love, and I think it's the love that he shared with his son so well that his son was able to immortalize him as well as the river here in this piece. It is an amazing tribute and a very, very special rite that unfortunately has the dual purpose of returning him to Alaska. It seemed to kind of crawl inside of people and inhabit them. And this is a really wonderful rite. And I even have a niece named Kenai. Beautiful,
wow.
Beautiful rite. Yeah. Beautiful rite.
I hope I pronounced it correctly. I hope I did not destroy it.
You read it beautifully. You read it beautifully. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful rite.
Yeah, fantastic job, Sala. Okay, Mindy, I have the next rite up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. All right. This one's entitled Moments Away by Sibba Billy. I wait. Years roll by. You, your essence, your individual spark, no longer able to heat tired bones. Memories of you tumble through surreal landscapes. Tiny snippets of our love outline the fusion of two souls. You fly on the wings of a whippoorwill. Its haunting song fills the night until I too feel consorn. But each night, just before, its voice falters and dies. I wake with arms outstretched toward the window pane, 1 second short of together, amidst midnight twinkling stars. Life draws circles under perplexed eyes as I continue to live, to wait for you. And poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read, Mindy. And such a touching poem. You know, you can feel the longing and the heartbreak that this person has, dreaming of being able to fly with her other on the other side with arms outstretched, waking up towards the window pane, 1 second short of together, you know, like arms outstretched, ready to go. You know, just a haunting poem full of imagery and emotion. What did you think, Lark?
Well, I can't disagree with anything that you said. Sometimes in poetry is written years after the loved one dies, the perspective is long enough to allow a certain perspective in the piece that is not drenched with cloying emotion, but real poetry emerges. Memories of you tumble through surreal landscapes. Tiny snippets of our love outline the fusion of two souls. You fly on the wings of a whippoorwill. Its haunting song fills the night until I too feel I can soar. To wake up, reaching for the windowpane, reaching for the sky, reaching for the haunting song that filled that night, shows exactly how strong the emotion, the lack of the other, is. Even after years and after years, she continues to live, to wait for the loved one. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And we'll get one more comment from Phil. What did you think, Phil?
Well, you know, the Blueberry Queen likes mute.
Mute?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like mute because when I don't, then when I'm typing, everybody hears me. So, trying to do the best. So I thought it was a nicely penned piece. I thought it was melancholy and haunting, and it was very well done. So nice work, Sibavali. Yes, I think that's it. I think that's the way you pronounce it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to grab this next one here. And this is by Chinaski, and he has a SoundCloud, so I'll play it out. Okay.
Suspended home where your seeds roam, embedded in the fertile soil, it's the virus that still lingers, giving you wings. I remember the anointed priest, our native son, roaming along countryside. The ghost violin dropping notes upon our salted sea. You've netted fish in those lonely lagoons. Gave you my last song, watching you pass from life to death, taking the path to azure. Sleeping under ocean, dipping into each night with the memories. There are no dancers possessed upon a daughter's weeping guitar. Obsessed with each song dedicated to you. Becoming prisoners, building our theaters to watch old films of black, white testaments to a life surfeit, leisure. The air stolen, trapping you, suffocating us upon ominous gaze with their power inside an obsessed conspiracy of minds, our countrymen murdered as the leaders fly above. Woke up suddenly, cold sweats, the instant a jet flew in silence overhead. On the beach, children trying to leap into its swift shadow.
Well, that was a wonderful SoundCloud. And it says in his author's notes, last year my brother was taken from me due to COVID-19. I regretfully blame conspiracy theories and world leaders that support those conspiracies while their supporters believe the guidance given by those idiots. I only hope our children will question those shadows. This poem was terribly hard for me to write. I wrote this dedication to my brother last year. Well, you can feel the anger in the words, you know, at the loss and the confusion of a conspiracy. Just a heart-wrenching, right? Full of anger and sadness. What did you think, Dex?
Yeah, this was a powerful poem and a great SoundCloud. You know, he put a lot of emotion in there, and rightfully so. But I really can see where he's coming from, because it's like, you know, this thing has become so politicized that it's like, you know, one side is going this, saying this and that, the other side's doing this and that, and all in between, people are dying, you know, and people are talking about it as if it is just, you know, the budget or, you know, what is it, this and that, but it's actual lives. And when you don't sometimes always know what the right answer is, you can be upset with both sides. You know, you can be upset with the people saying it's a conspiracy theory. You're also upset with the people that are trying to make money, the politicians, and pushing a certain agenda. You're just upset at all of it because you lost a brother. And so I thought this was a very powerful right.
Well said. Thank you, Dex. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, you said it beautifully, all of you. You can feel his sadness and his anger. I agree. In every stanza, it's hard to lose someone you love. And I think they're separated distance-wise, so they make it even harder. Suspended home where your seeds are embedded into fertile soil. It's the virus that still lingers, giving you wings. I mean, there is sadness, but there is also hope, wings, and memories. There's this as well there. Beautifully read, and sorry for your loss.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. Okay, I'm going to grab the... Lord, you're up next.
All right. This poem is dedicated to all living dead men. It's called Rekindling Life. Reside in me, inhabit me, deep inside where it burns. Helpless before my nature, I unlock the featureless door. Standing aside, the way is open. Will you enter, recognizing my collapse? Denervated, stripped of sensation, gemless lapidary, awaiting your ruby touch, waiting to live again, to feel again, mourn, and laugh again. Green River flows below the valley where I grew up. It knows my name, having tasted me 1,000 times. And I split her surface, cleaving naked her skin with mine. Now, washed up, driftwood drying, remembering, but only remembering what it might have felt like as a desert parched, awaiting rain, cracking deep black in silence, knowing what once was, is no longer. Arrows fletched, loosed against the wind in unerring flight, have finally fallen to earth. Target never reached. Syllabus for survival misplaced. Pages fluttering in some dire alternate universe, leaving behind the cracked spine, an open wound of a bad read. Blue marble bounces, crazed surface pausing at the soles of small feet, treading the sand. Is it Sahara or Cape Cod Beach, where horseshoe crabs blister in the sun, upside down, where the anonymous tide washed them, sinking. Column of thought topples, unable to sustain the weight of its argument to exist. Muse repents, betrayed by syllogistic failures of metathought. It had swayed towards entropy before, but recanted equilibrium, despite frequent tongue lashings to the contrary. So fries the brain, young, vague with desire, attempting to recapture the spark within, despite a hoarfrost without. They don't dig graves in winter, so I sat, propped up in a warm corner, watching and smiling as they danced and lived, even as I left the door open, hoping she would enter, lifting me in transition, rekindling life, hoping there is no more against my soul. And poem.
Wow, that was riveting. Excellent read. Really love the storyline, you know, it's just fantastic. You know, your masterful skills shine through in this way. Helpless before my nature, I unlock a featureless door. Standing aside, the way is open. Will you enter, recognizing my collapse? Denervated, stripped of sensation. Just a haunting, haunting right, Lauren. Still the fantastic imagery and emotion.
Thank you.
What did you think? Yeah, you bet. What did you think, Mindy?
As I was chilling, really. There's so many gripper lines in this piece, but this one right here, they don't bring winter. So I sat up warm, watching, smiling as they dance. That level of shadow brought to black ink, and that's what this feels like. You're lending depth and darkness to dark, and that syllabus is about an open wound. There's a real gripping sense of them. Those are really that so poignantly shared and beautifully written.
Thank you, Mindy.
Great comment, Mindy. Thank you. And Bill, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was excellent, Lauren. I really do. I think your thoughts were very well expressed. Your great metaphors throughout. It's just excellent work. You know, amazing imagery. Wow, my lips aren't working. I really just think it was a wonderful job. You know, I loved how you introed this piece, the first two stanzas, maybe three, you know. Reside in me, inhabit me, deep inside where it burns. Helpless before my nature, I unlock the featureless door. Standing aside, the way is open. Will you enter, recognizing my collapse? You know, I mean, it just draws you right in from the beginning. because you want to know where it's going. And just a really, really well done piece.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, this was an amazing write and just very heartbreaking. And it's very thought-provoking, you know, when the things that you loved most in this life are now gone, just what now and where do you turn? And so hoping something or someone or something or something can, you know, blow more air into your sails again. And I wasn't sure if, it could be in the form of maybe a new love comes along, or I wasn't sure if it took a twist at the end, if he was talking maybe about grandchildren. Looking for somewhere to turn that loves you and will accept all the baggage and everything that comes with it. So I just thought it was a great write.
Thank you, Dex.
Thank you, Dex. Great comment. And Thawa, what did you think?
I'm sorry, I'm copying you now, Phil, because you said typing. I said I have to be considerate too. Anyway, I really love the imagery. I love how you wrote it to everyone, man, and like not, it's just your story, but you also include others in there. Then you can see that where you say, where is it? Like mourn and laugh again. That's, everyone has to go through this in life, and your brain's so far. The brain gone vague with the desire, attempting to recapture the spark within the spite, the horror force without. They don't dig graves in winter. It's really telling the story of life, of how we lose people, but you keep your door open. I'm not sure if I really, that's what I see the first read, but I think I need to, it's so deep that I have to give it a couple of reads to grasp it, because it's very profound.
Thank you, sir.
Well said. Thank you, Zella. And Mindy, what did you think? Oh, I already got you. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Dex, you're up next.
You did.
My piece you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is Serenity's old phone number. Wet cement, clay like soil. Each second, death grips tightens, inhaling the desperate energy from the dire atmosphere, surrounded by air-sucked, brown paper bag-like faces, imploding from the anxiety. Dig, goddammit, frantically, dirt-stained grips scoop and flying divots and dents from tragedy's outer layer, sweat dripping a steady bead of doubt, escaping the look of determination. A fingernail peels back with a singe of pain that drifts into oblivion. Keep digging, tick, tick. The silent hands of time begin in my mind like slamming doors. Another fingernail rips, reveals bare flesh that is plunged back into the thick soil. Tick, tick, blood dripping, cries starting, tick, tick. Keep digging, damn it. Numbness warms my arms with fatigue as the unthinkable realization begins polluting my minds. As the unthinkable realization begins polluting minds with soaking sorrow, May 22nd, 2013, valiant efforts were outmatched by nature's sudden cataclysmic lesson. End poem. And that was about two fourth graders that were on a field trip a few blocks from my house at the park, and there was a mudslide that took them in. So.
That's just pain-filled and haunting imagery. You know, you can see the panic in the dig and the death at the doorstep. Just a haunting, haunting rite. What did you think, Laurent? Excellent read, details.
Yeah, this is filled with gripping descriptions. How do you write a poem about two fourth graders that were buried in mud? Well, this is the answer to that. Not words of sorrow and, oh, it's such a bad thing, and this is, no, you take us there. You put us right at the place. Wet cement, clay-like soil. dire atmosphere, surrounded by air, sucked brown paper bag, like faces imploding from the anxiety. Then you describe the small details, the sweat, the fingernails peeling back, the bare flesh plunged into thick soil, dripping blood, numbness, the fatigue, everything that happens in that moment as you frantically try to save two young lives. And it was the perfect way, I think, to approach this, because you lent some of the horror of the moment to your poem, and it brings us all in there. Very, very powerful.
Thank you very much, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Great comment. And Phil, what did you think?
Well, you know, this is the second time I've seen this piece. It's been a long time, but it is painful and well-written. Like I said the first time, I think that it was very well done. I know that it was originally done to a prompt, but I think that you brought this to you brought this story to light in this poem, you know, expressing the tragedy that happened that day, and sharing it with everyone in a really well done piece. So great job with that. You know, it's a horrible thing that happened there, and I think that you addressed it in a way that was, it didn't exploit the situation, let's put it that way. You know, you had the emotions in there that felt, you know, like you were on that right track. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I think it was a good job, Dex. Well done.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, it was a Richard prompt.
There you go.
Great comment. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
Absolutely.
Thala, what did you think?
It's a heart-wrenching story. And you, as everyone else, you took us really there. We can feel your emotion and how you're dealing with panic and trying to save two young souls just every moment from the beginning, each second that grip tightens and keep going with tick, 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 your brain and everywhere, your fingers, just your arms, your fatigue. Really well done, and such a horrible story.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Mindy, what did you think?
The anxiety is so
Mindy, you're breaking up badly. Maybe you could find a different place to stand.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Seems
yes.
to be.
Is that better? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry about that. Yeah, the anxiety in this piece is so poignant and so ripe that it makes your heart pound. When he states brown paper bag, like faces imploding from anxiety, dig goddamn frantically dirt stained grit scoop and fling divots and dents from tragedy outer layer. That's amazing writing. And it's so filled with action and that sense of desperation that our heart is pounding too. We're waiting for the eventuality of what's underneath that dig. And this is a great write and a great read, Dex.
Thank you, Mindy.
Great comment. Okay, Sawa, I have your poem up whenever you're ready.
Okay. Okay, I am. Okay. And this is Never Would Die, Memories of My Parents, The Love for Each Other. Gone with the wind, petals of roses are still knotted in heavens. Never would die. Zest of pain, acknowledged with tears, lost heart. Oh, my love, timeless love, will unveil to you and I a new journey, far away, full of gladness and bliss. With my mother's voice, God rest her for some peace. I mean, her soul, I meant. It's a story of my father got killed and my mother she just loved him until the last minute of her breath, really. And that's what—that's why I gave her the voice. I'm sure she'd be proud of me.
Well, that's beautiful, Sawa. Such a touching note to the poem. But you can feel the love that you have, and you can see the love that they had. and you're right. Just a tragic story, but full of love either way. Beautiful job, Sala.
Oh, thank you.
And Lauren, what did you think?
This is a piece that expresses kind of a timeless love. I like the opening, Gone with the Wind. That's such an iconic statement that it tells us exactly what we need to know immediately. The phrase, petals of roses are still knotted in the heavens, never will die. And that's great phrasing. I really like this piece. And I extend my good wishes to you, my dear, because
you
express yourself in a brevity that is very powerful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lord. And Bill, what did you think?
I was trying to figure out how I was going to word this, and I just got it, Greg, so good timing. Sawa, I thought this was a poignant expression of loss. It was a beautiful brevity, and I think that you expressed your feelings in this very well. You know, you showed great reverence to your mom, and, you know, it was just beautiful. So, well done.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bill. And Deck, what did you think?
You know, I thought that this was a beautiful brevity, and I what I put in my comment is that I just thought that it took great courage of you to read this on air. I could tell by the way that you ended that it was, even though it was a brevity, it was difficult for you to get through. So I just thought that this, on top of it being a great write, I just thought it was the power behind it and just the soul behind it from you as the poet was just as great as the words.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Dex. Thank you. And Mindy, what did you think?
I'm providing your mother with a voice here and that language of love that she's obviously passed on to you. There's a beautiful resonance. And yes, we feel the pain and the depth of enduring loss here, but so too we feel that beauty and that resonance of love. It's a gorgeous rite. Very nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mindy.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. Thank you, Mindy. Okay, this is the next poem. It's by Daniel Deschino, and it's called The Path I Left Behind. A cloudy, humid summer night invites a walk of restless sleep to pass by a small group of young adults, 25 years old, not much more. We pass without a glance, I to be forgotten with the next step and them to spark a pleasant remembrance. As I turn and watch them walk off into promise and heartbreak to a future beyond what I will see within a world made for them, I just wander through in the dark. When I walk, I tend more and more each time not to look back from where I came into where those young and full of hope are heading, nor do I look forward, for I already know where I'm going. But more and more each day, I tend to look up and around for no other reason than I know it's there. I know because I can hear and I can see. I can hear the wind through the trees as they breathe it in to sing and dance with energized delight. I hear a train in the distance echo off the clouds, unaware that I contemplate what stories its passengers have written today. I see green fresh-cut grass and bright red rose bushes. Well, actually, it's dark. I just see black silhouette, but I know the colors are there. And as I turn each corner, I see something different, different from when I turned the corner yesterday and different from the day before. I wonder what I'll see tomorrow. I hope those I passed before will see it too. Next time, I will think of them. And poem. I really like that. You know, that was the stroll through an older man's mind as he takes a walk in life and sees the beauty and the depth of the world around him. I thought it was a wonderful write. What did you think, Lauren?
I think it takes time in life, years lived sometimes, to see the very things that he's talking about. And I believe that the young people will see it too, later on, certainly, if not now. As I turn and watch them walk off into promise and heartbreak to a future beyond what I will see within a world made for them, I just wander through in the dark. And then he proceeds to list all the things that he sees. But I love the phrase, walk off into promise and heartbreak. Truer words were never spoken, because the future is filled with that promise and heartbreak. He mentions a train that never stops, that always keeps moving. And the train, of course, is life. And what we see and appreciate from the windows as we roar past is important. Thankfully, it's not always riding a train. It's the slow walk through nature, which brings benefits and beauty, which he describes so eloquently. Very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Bill, what did you think?
I thought this was an excellent take on his chosen prompt for this contest. The quote was, "Our life is a constant journey from birth to death. The landscape changes, the people change, our needs change, but the train keeps moving." And I think he really nailed that within the write itself. So nice job, and enjoyed it. Thank you, Dan.
Wonderful comment, Bill. Thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, I always enjoy Daniel's writes, and I enjoy it when he goes this style. This style is almost like panoramic poetry or something, where it gets the entire view of everything around so well. I just thought it was a great write.
I really like that comment, panoramic poetry. Oh, that was a great comment. And Mindy, what did you think?
I thought this was a wonderful piece. I'm very creative, too, the way that he developed that transitory view through life and living into and throughout thresholds that move us beyond into other phases and paces of our walk. It was an interesting layering and lasting of realities and almost creating a time loop or a time arc where he's passing students or he's passing those younger people daily. And sometimes he thinks about connecting or trying to reach out. And it almost had a very haunting sort of ghostly effect to it. Beautiful, right, though? And I love the imagery of a train because we hear that in so many pieces and even in music as a means of conveying people from one realm to the other, you know, from life into death. And it's a beautiful right.
Well, that was an astute comment. Thank you, Mindy. Okay, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Phil. It's by Pam H.
Okie dokie. This is called Faith is Gloriously Beautiful by Pam H. Faith. Faith is gloriously beautiful. Fear can be a barrier, a blockage from our true nature. Cruel words do more harm than sharpened steel. Past mistakes aren't quicksand. You're not alone in the darkness. Reach out for a hand. Have the confidence of a spiritual warrior, ever falling down, but never too afraid to get back up and try again. Faith is gloriously beautiful. I am a human being. Doubts breed regrets, fuel for the journey. Belief inspires confidence. Shamanic dances give way to experiences of pure love and ultimate joy. Fear can be a barrier, a blockage from our true nature. Cruel words do more harm than sharpened steel. Mind thy tongues. End poem.
Beautiful read, Phil. And, you know, you can feel the self-affirmation in this, you know, through faith. And I thought it was beautifully expressed. What did you think, Lawrence?
For people who have faith in religion, faith can be gloriously beautiful as opposed to fear, which can be a barrier, as she says in the first three lines, a blockage from our true nature. But faith also says you're not alone in the darkness. Reach out for a hand. Have the confidence of a spiritual warrior. And that's an interesting observation. I guess you are a warrior for God in so many ways. I am a human being. Doubts breed regrets. Fuel for the journey. Self-belief inspires confidence. And it's that very self-belief, I think, that allows us to get through all the experiences that cruel words can bring. As she says, cruel words do more harm than sharpened steel. Mind thy tongues. And that is the most powerful weapon. And that is the sharpest blade. And yes, it cuts deeply, as does this poem. Well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Bill, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was well written. And I'm with Lawrence. I pulled out this, cruel words do more harm than sharpened steel. Mind thy tongues. There's a lot of truth in here, you know, and when you get down to the very tail end of it, that sums it up right there. You know, think about what you're saying. Think about what you're doing. Think about how, you know, that when you do something, how it trickles down, how it affects the next person. There's a lot of things that happen, you know. It's like playing passes down the lane. One person says something and it gets twisted a little bit and goes on to the next. By the time you're done, you've totally, you know, sliced and diced somebody. And, you know, I think she said it beautifully. So great work, Pam. Thank you. Thank you much.
Fabulous comment. Thank you, Bill. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, this was a beautiful write, you know, and not to guess, just use the word that's in it, but, you know, yeah, faith is gloriously beautiful, and she accepts her humanity in here, but also gives it up to the spiritual spiritual nature that she has. So just a very good write all the way through, and very well done by Pam.
Thank you, Dex. Great comment. And Mindy, what did you think?
I think she's almost speaking on both sides of the subject matter here. I was looking at those first couple of lines, and it says, faith is gloriously beautiful. Fear can be a barrier, a blockage from our true nature. Cruel words do more harm than sharpened steel. Past mistakes aren't quicksand. You know, those pains are resonant and continue on. And some of them, that scarring is indelible and just never leaves. But the barriers that is created by that is also permanent, and that's fearful. But she does give good advice when she suggests for somebody to have the courage to reach out and reach through that, you know, at least to somewhere where you can get some support. And I think there's a beautiful wisdom in this, right?
Wonderfully said, Mindy. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go up the next balloon here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Laurent. Hello, Laurent.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. It took me a moment to find it and to realize I was on mute. Okay. The Broken Pieces of Your Heart by Poetic Picasso. Mi amor, from the broken pieces of your heart, I'll build you a shrine. Make a fountain by the candles to quench your thirst. Walk the road barefoot to you, my sacred pilgrimage, leaving behind footprints in the sands of time. Upon the parchments of the naked secrets, I find your purity in a luminescent afterglow. You are the radiance of the morning sun, your lips the cool drops of an evening rain. I can feel the burden beating of your lonely heart as you bleed in the pool of your bitter laments. But I see the bright light of your ebony glow like a luminary in the mural of the lovers of fate. I pay homage to the sea with your celestial beauty, for I am the strength of your rock of Gibraltar. I'll tear down the pillars of your walls of Jericho. If you let me be the builder of your dreams, Yamal. End poem.
Beautifully read, Lawrence. And this is a wonderful piece of loving, caring, devote, and just beautiful love. I pay homage to the sea with your celestial beauty, for I am the strength of your rock of Gibraltar. I'll tear down the pillars of your walls of Jericho if you let me be the builder of your dreams. Just fantastic imagery and emotions throughout that, right? What did you think, Phil?
She stepped away.
Oh, I see. Thank you. Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, just very, this was one was very, you know, heartfelt and talk about just, you know, putting your heart on your sleeve and laying it all out there and you know, disregard for how I guess it's going to be perceived. You know, sometimes we hold back our feelings and things with the feelings of rejection, but you know, this is just a putting it out there and what the poet desires to be a part of, you know. So what a great write.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Dex. And Mindy, what did you think?
I thought it was a brave and bold stand, an offering of a heart that's willing to step forward and go through this with her, you know, to make that declaration in such a strong fashion where he's willing to go through the pain of getting through whatever she's dealing with now and then help her rebuild after. There's a real sense of dedication in that, and so it's a really beautiful rite.
Thank you, Mindy. It was a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next rite here. Okay, Martha Gettle, and she has a sound card. Sorry, Lauren, you didn't get to comment on that. Would you like to say anything?
I'm already off the page. I'll leave some text commentary.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the next poem is up. It's by Martha Gettle, and I have a sound card.
I See Again by Martha Gettle. The smile that was there, I see again. I see again.
I'm going to see if I can find that poem, because that's not the right poem.
Would you like me to maybe post another one and read one while you look for it?
No, I've actually got it, Dex. Thank you.
All right.
Oh, Phil already got it, too. Okay. Okay, so it's up, and I'm going to play the sound card.
I See Again by Martha Gettle. The smile that was there, I see again. The twinkling eyes and the impish grin. The love that was there on your face, they are all tucked into a special place. When it all becomes too much for me, this endless battle I lose, you see. When all around me just falls apart and searing pain consumes my heart. You are gone, you won't be back. My heart is under constant attack. I never know where they come from, what they are, or when they come. The tears fall as the pain comes in. It happens to me again and again. But I close my eyes and escape, you know, as I bask once more in your memory's glow. End of poem.
Beautiful read. And excellent write. You know, how heartbreaking is this write of loss and love? Powerful poem. What did you think, Lawrence?
Well, was my ear you whispered into, but it was my heart that was listening to you. It's kind of catchy. As is the next, as are the next two lines, it was not my lips you kissed, you know, darling, you kissed my soul. I like the way she did that. And, of course, the idea of a wrecking ball to my heart, babe, you tore it all apart. It's true. Sometimes the heart explodes from the sheer joy or the very quantity of love that's coming your way. And after a while, it can't hold anymore and bursts. And that point was made nicely, and I enjoyed this.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Phil, what did you think? Are you back, Phil? No. Dex, what did you think?
Sorry. Just
okay.
On mute, doing my thing. I thought this was a great expression of remembrance and lost love. She did a beautiful job writing it, and sometimes you can kind of slip into those memories and feel cocooned by them, safe, you know. And, yeah, I think that was well done. Great job, Martha.
Thank you, Bill. Great comment.
Mm-hmm.
And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write, as Laurence said, very catchy, but I thought it was an interesting dynamic that she wrote it 6 years ago, and then she made a new SoundCloud of it. You know, sometimes looking back at old poems is almost like looking back at old pictures, and they can generate, bring up old emotions and things that we have. And she read that piece with great emotion and in her voice and delivered it very well. I just thought that whole part kind of added to it. You know, I see again. I mean, it's even in the title. I just thought it was very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Mindy, what did you think?
Well, this reminded me of those seven stages of grief, you know, and that pain that sometimes cycles back around when we think that we've gotten past one part and we think we're healed from it. We have another one sidelined. It's from out of nowhere. And it can come in waves like that, and it can come unexpectedly over a long period of time, sometimes for years, until those echoes, you know, get a little bit less poignant and not quite so painful. But they do cycle, and I think she captured that very well.
Excellent comment, Mindy. Okay, so I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Dex.
Okay, this is by Oak Blue 34, Leaving Me Softly. It's hard to watch you slip away, called by voices I cannot hear, to an inner world only you can occupy. Through 47 years, we've greeted each other when the sun casts golden hues over the valley mountains. We sat on the porch drinking morning tea, listening to twitter of early birds, watched rabbits' kits warily eating tendrils of new spring grass. Hope the red-tailed hawk nesting nearby wouldn't scoop them up. We raised children together, schooled them, watched them marry, shared the joy of cookie baking, kite flying, and wide-eyed grandchildren. Oh, on some days when moody clouds descended, we'd argue over big and little things, none of which left a permanent stain, some of which required us to make up with kisses, soft music, and a warm bed. I watched you sitting in the window, warmth of an early spring day, staring at the blue bonnets bursting with perfume, eyes soon nodding off for one of your many naps. A tear rolls down my cheek, remembering our lusty morning conversations as I repeat our ritual of reading you in the headlines from the overnight sports section. End poem.
Great read, Dex. And it's written on a prompt that says, it is so much darker when a light goes out than it would have been if it just never shone, by John Steinbeck. And, yeah, that was a beautiful write. You know, you can see this the pain as this person is slipping away from them. And I thought it was wonderfully written, powerful imagery and powerful emotions as well. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, it's quite the poem, and it's done very well in contests. Leaving Me Softly is a great title. The implication, of course, is that the death or the passing is a slow, drawn-out process that brings pain and suffering to one of the two, perhaps not to the other. A gentle soul who takes many naps. The first and last stanzas are the ones that have sadness in them. The inner three stanzas are filled with what they've done all their life. And in so doing, of course, they bring the relationship to life, and beautifully so, with language that is uplifting and relatable. But then, of course, that last stanza, a tear rolls down my cheek, remembering our lusty morning conversations. As I repeat our ritual of reading you the headlines in the overnight sports section, and as has a sad but necessary little residual that somehow seems like all that's left of the relationship. So Leaving Me Softly, very relatable, very beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Lawrence. Great comment. And Bill, what did you think?
I thought that this was an excellent work, beautifully expressed. It was a wonderful take on the prompt and a great tribute. It's a sad story, you know, behind it, but it was very well done, very well done.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
And Mindy, what do you think?
Well, it's worth recognizing that this has more than 1,000 reads on it, even though it's not a front page pick, and it should be. The closing lines here made me smile. They did. With that bittersweet sort of wistful heart that tugs at the ties that bind us. They're so strong and enduring, and they leave those fondest traces and headlines that become our bylines. And they do. Those little things that make up a life. Those are the memorable things that we attach to a memory of another. And this piece just speaks so beautifully of that. I love this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well said. Thank you, Mindy. Good comment. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next one here. And if you wouldn't mind, Mindy.
All righty.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, thanks. Unaware, or Angel Unaware by S.V. Masterson. Separated, placed in the stars above, lost to the world, an angel of love. High above with the earth below, only distant memories with no more room to grow. Angel unaware of all the sorrow and anger left behind, only joy remains with all of the happiness she will find. Her toy box floats beside her, a connection to the past. Only memories now of a time that would not last. Angels guide us through troubled times, our souls to keep. Angels become the stars at night and watch over us while we sleep. And
how beautiful is that? That's so touching.
Wow.
Angel unaware of all the sorrow and anger left behind, only joy remained with all the happiness she will find. Her toy box floats beside her, a connection to the past, only memories now of a time that would not last. Just haunting. You know, the loss of a child is so tragic, and, you know, knowing that they become an angel above is a great, you know, heart, I guess, you know, reliever. It takes the burden of having that loss so forefront of us. What did you think, Lauren?
You're going to have to skip me on this one. It's a little too strong for me right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Bill, what did you think?
You know, I thought this was an excellent take on the prompt. The image was a prompt from a contest, but it doesn't make this piece any less hitting close to home. Beautifully written, very well expressed. Imagery was wonderful. It's a little sharp, but beautifully done. Thanks for sharing, SV.
Thank you, Phil. And Dex, what did you think?
Just a very heartfelt writing, you know, and if anybody, you know, yeah, it, you know, people say that, you know, this person passed, they become an angel. But if anybody is deserving as being an angel, it's a child, you know, they're untainted by this world. And I just thought that this piece was so beautiful because it was done almost as if it was a bedtime story or a lullaby or something. It was just very fitting the way that it was in the manner in which it was written to. That even just adds more impact to it. So just very well done, SV.
Thank you, Dex. Great comment. And Mindy, what did you think of the write that you read?
Oh, I thought it was really, really a lovely piece. I thought it was so beautiful. In fact, I wrote it. When I say beautiful, it's not a trite comment. It's a genuine response to purest beauty and that resonance shared here so eloquently. I thought it was moving and tender. And really a pleasure to read.
Well said. Thank you, Mindy. Okay, I have the next write-up, if you would mind, please, Lauren.
All right.
Oh, it's been deleted, apparently.
Yes, sir.
I'll grab another one.
Hey, Frank, or Gray, why don't you give me the next one? I can step in if Laurent, you want a minute.
I'm fine. I let the host take care of it.
Okay, there you go.
All right, this is called Losing Liam by Kilburn 9. You dance now with the moon and stars, but your shadow lingers here, cast within my shattered heart that keeps you ever near. Each night in dreams, I see your smiling, boyish face, winsome grin, endearing ways that I cannot replace. Through every dawn and sunset, you'll forever be 16, while I grow old and contemplate the things that might have been. One day you'll come and clasp my hand, I'll feel your warm embrace, and we will stroll on paths of gold, some other time, some other place. End poem.
Beautifully read, Lawrence. And, you know, how touching is this poem? You can feel the love and the loss deeply within these lines. Through every dawn and sunset, you'll be forever 16. When I grow old and contemplate the things that might have been, you know, losing somebody at that young age just with their whole life in front of them, it's got to be, you know, knock you off your feet and put you in a bad place. But my heart goes out to this person. Beautiful, right? What did you think, Phil?
I thought that this was a beautiful, loving piece, well-written tribute to the memory of their grandson. I think that it was beautifully done. I love that ending stanza. One day you'll come and clasp my hand, I'll feel your warm embrace, and we will stroll on paths of gold some other time, some other place. I love that. I thought that was, that's faith, you know, believing that there's more from here, you know, to experience from here. And I think that's wonderful. You always got to remember those things.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was, you know, it was just very heartfelt. Cast within my shattered heart that keeps you ever near. This is just another very difficult one to read. You'll forever be 16. Just a very vivid image that he painted with this, and it's just a very loving tribute.
Well said. Thank you, Dex. And Mindy, what did you think?
It was so warmly penned. This piece was so warmly penned. And you're right, it's very touching. And crushing also at the same time. Such a tremendous loss when it's somebody who's young and got so much of life ahead. But the memory of this child is kept so close at heart, and we feel that in this piece. It is palpable. Beautiful work.
Great comment, Mindy. Thank you. And Laurent, would you like to say anything about the poem?
There is no specific mention as to cause of death, yet I can suspect what it might have been. This will be looked on as an age where many, many, many young people died a needless death. And I'm probably going to resent the reason why for a very long time. I have my suspicions as to the cause. I won't broach any. I don't think it's fair on my part. She had wanted his death cause listed. She probably would have said so. So I'll leave it at that. Exactly what Nana Fiera said in her comment on this. I have no words. Brilliant tribute to your grandson. And so sad to lose someone so young. And we are losing many. Great piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment, Laura. Okay, Bill, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Is it by A.P. Wanderer?
Yes.
Okay. This is called A Children's Sorrow by A.P. Wanderer. Hear the children cheer falls. Oh, my orchids laden under baby's breath. Innocence gift lost. Ere the sorrow comes with years. Cattails feed the young lambs within her glades. Shade of blues, robin egg, lays broken. A fawn's playtime in the west. Mother's bosom for her tomorrow's vest. Dearest child, your laugh echoes. Laughter plucks the meadow through and through. O child, a smile in time. Breath upon breath, shrouded from cement to grief's gravest dew. Strangers at the door, spinning blindly to midnight's arm. Come and rest with me, dearest child. When you sob out loud, be brave. Speechless as a stone, deciphered charm. Wheel turning clouds, handkerchief in remembrance, keep. Will you stand or run? Sunshine is their angelic dawn. Heavy eyelids, drooping orchids, lay upon baby's breath is done. And poem.
Beautiful read, Bill. And it's such a touching poem. You know, it's got a gentle sadness to it that's just heartbreaking in its beauty. Wheel-turning clouds, handkerchief and remembrance keep. Will you stand or run? Sunshine is their angelic palm. Heavy eyelids, drooping orchids lay upon baby's breast is done. This haunting imagery. What did you think, Lawrence?
I'm looking at the piece and admiring the way it was structured. There are some obvious things that are so beautiful. Hear the children's tear falls. Oh, my orchids laden under baby's breath. Innocence gift lost. Hear the sorrow comes with years. But that third stanza, strangers at the door, spinning blindly to midnight's harm, is a wonderful phrase. I'm in deep admiration of that. Come and rest with me, dearest child. Almost as if she's asking the child to appear to her in a dream. When you sob out loud, be brave, speechless as a stone deciphered charm. My. I had no idea that Death of the Innocents was November 1st. Honoring children who all died. This does them great honor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Phil, what did you think on the poem that you read?
I thought that this was a very well done piece. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, because it does say in those author's notes, my prompt choice is November 1st. So I feel, a little better about that. The loss of a child is devastating, no matter the age. But there's something about when you're talking about baby's breath, it kind of puts that lump in your throat, but it was very well written. And Yeah, nicely done. This is the second piece I've had the chance to read by A.P. Wanderer in the last couple of days. And I think that it really is wonderful work. He has a distinct way about it, you know, his writing, and I'm coming to enjoy that very much. So nice work, and thank you.
Great comment, Bill. Thank you. And Dex, what did you think?
You know, talk about just your old kind of classic, you know, English class or writing 101. You know, your first line is always your attention grabber, you know, but if you go, hear the children's tear falls, dearest child, your laugh echoes, strangers at the door spinning blindly to midnight's harm, wheels turning clouds. I mean, those are just brilliant, brilliant lines to start each stanza. And I thought that this was just very skillfully and stylistically done well.
Great comment. Thank you, Dex. And Mindy, what did you think?
I thought this was really an interesting and creative and clever piece, and as well as moving, with the layering of that classical imagery that Dex was just speaking of. You know, we have all those references of life and spring and birth with lambs and robin eggs, and those are all springtime and Easter imagery that we associate with that sort of rebirth or birth. And then with the painful aspect here with mention of cement and tombstones, you know, headstones, and it creates that present sort of requisite severity and depth of what he's saying, as well as overlaying it with those notes of life and breath and beauty and wonderment that comes with children. And it's a clever piece. It's a creative piece. It's absolutely beautiful. And you did a beautiful job reading that too, Jean.
Thank you.
Fantastic comment, Mindy. And I've got the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Dex.
No problem. This is July 18th, 1967, by J-Bo, UK. Jubilant, I told my husband that it had happened as we'd planned. Our dreams came true. I was with child. The very thought had us begilled. For 9 long months, our baby grew. Then I was 10 days overdue. We had things ready for so long. Now surely nothing could go wrong. At last, a big day had arrived. For our sweet child, I pushed and strived. What shock and anguish when they said that it's a girl, but she is dead. So her birthday was her death day. It hurt us more than words can say. And so our little one who died will never know the tears we cried. She won't know how we would have loved her. Joys of life she'd not discover. Our longed for babe had never breathed. And ever since, for her we've grieved. This date is upon my heart. This is the date that she did depart. It hurt us then and hurts us still. We don't forget and never will. Rest in peace, Sarah. Born July 18th, 1967. Died July 18th, 1967. Stillborn. End poem.
Whew, that one's a heartbreaker. Punch you in the face and rip your guts out. You know, so sad and tragic to lose a baby that's, you know, expecting to be born and alive that day, and it comes out dead. So sad. What a tragic tale. Would you like to say anything about this poem, Lawrence?
So her birthday was her death day. It hurt us more than words can say. And so our little one who died will never know the tears we cried. You know, it hurts me to read this, but nowhere near the pain. Nowhere near. That the parents felt, that Jabo felt. I think she speaks for all parents who have suffered such a loss. Enormously moving.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Phil, what did you think?
I think that this poem was painful and well-written. You know, I think that it was a beautiful thing that Jabo shared this you know, and wrote it. I'm sure it made her feel, well, it's kind of a release in some ways of these things. I know it's been a long time, but some things you just never forget. Java's got her life in poetry, and I think that's a beautiful thing. Java, my heart goes out to you. I know that feeling all too well. And, yeah, it's something that you do never forget. That is for sure. And, yeah, love you, girlfriend. It's, you know, warm hugs. That's about all I can say about this. It, you know, but thank you.
My heart goes out to you both. And Dex, what did you think?
Yeah, this one hits close to home and hits hard also, too, as well. My mom had four miscarriages after me as well, and I was born dead, too. But this poem, you know, the way that she talks about it, they had already given this baby life. You know, they thought about it. They pictured it. You know, they were, you know, as joys in life she'd not discovered. The implied nature of this is that they had already given her a life, and they already were imagining it, and, you know, in a lot of ways, and now they're imagining what didn't happen, and to go home empty-handed from the hospital without, you know, it's just a crushing, right? My heart goes out to her.
Absolutely. Did I hear you correctly say that you were born dead?
Yes. Yeah, I was.
What's the story on that?
I was. My umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. But, yeah, so like I said, more so not than dad, but my mom had a couple of stillborns after me. So that was really the, where I can relate. My mom was crushed.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that, Dex. Wow. Mindy, what did you think?
Well, I think that you said it best when you said it first. This is a punch in the face and ripping guts. I mean, it doesn't get any more painful than this. It truly doesn't. And that loss, that gravity of that loss is just, it made the chill all over my body right now. I'm just shaking. And for Janet and Jean both, I love you guys. And wow, so sorry.
Good girlfriend.
Great comment, Mindy. Thank you. Would you mind reading the next one, Mindy, please?
Sure. This one's by Chris Bond, and it's entitled Memories of... My first severed dog, paw marks left on the heart, memories of a grand chap who kept a lot of my secrets to himself, no more loyal companion to confide in. In my darkest days, you ensured I always had a mate. And what you did, what did you ask for in return? A walk, some treats, and a love well earned, as you made my house your home. The laughs you gave us, your obsession with shadows will never be forgot. Your happy hours heading somewhere in the car, stood proud in the back. Wide smile as you knew, end destination would result in a beach or a country walk. Thankfully, the recollections that shine so bright, the photos and anecdotes that keep you alive, balm the pain of losing you from my side. I now have a new hairy henchman, but you've never forgot your first doggy love. I hope in heaven there are shadows aplenty and you are reunited with Mom's late dog, Charlie. The walks up there are great, and when I'm reunited with you, I can hold your lead again. And I'll never forget you, dear Sonny. And Pom.
Wow. You know, that rips my heart out, too, the pain that you feel when you lose your best friend like that. But I know it all too well with my dog, Maximilian. He was a 13-year-old shepherd. But, excellent, right? You know, it tore my heart out. What did you think, Laurent? Great read, Mindy.
Yeah, that was a great read. sometimes a pet can be closer than a human loved one, because a dog's love is unconditional, and they ask only love in return. And for anyone who thinks that dogs don't know love, I've watched a series of videos on dogs that had been adopted, and the excitement that they show and the love and affection that they shower, that they pour on their new owner is undistinguishable from the excitement of a small child who sees a loved one. I mean, the words in the poem convey that love and give us reasons to smile, not just sadness at loss. Very, very moving.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Bill, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful tribute to his closest buddy. You know, I think Sonny sounds incredible. Just a really nicely done piece. And I know Chris was excited to write it and put it into the show. So wonderful job, Chris, and thanks for sharing. I'm glad you got it here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, Bill. And Mindy? Or sorry, Dex. What did you think?
Yeah, just a very, very, you know, a heartfelt right to his dog, you know, and the death of a dog, as Laurent said, it just can be just very hard, and in a lot of ways as hard as a death of a person, you know. Maybe not a close, intimate person, but a person in our life nonetheless. And, you know, to the point where I've questioned even getting another dog ever again, because to sign myself up to go through this, you know, the loss of one again, you know, it's just a hard situation to go through, and very well done by Chris to write this.
So did you ever get another dog?
Well, I have two, Dexter and Bailey, so...
Oh, okay. There you go.
Worth it.
Mindy, what did you think of the rate?
Pets so easily become a family extension, and they fulfill such a large part of our lives, and their loss is uniquely felt. And I agree with Dex. You know, I experienced the same thing when I lost one of mine. You know, I said no way for almost 6 years straight till I couldn't stand not having one again. But yeah, and even though I love the animals that I've got now, they still don't fulfill the same memory. You know, they make a distinct and unique impression on us. And this is a beautiful rite honoring that. I remembered your rite too, Greg.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Maximilian. I appreciate everybody coming in tonight and sharing your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, everybody, and good night.
Much love, Gray. And a great show.
Great night, everyone.
Great show. Good night. Much love.
Much love.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm.